Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Today is our final installment in gleaning some Colossians. Today, the only way. We are considering in this overview of the book of Colossians the whole idea of let's not rest in faulty thinking. The unsaved ought not to rest in faulty thinking, that they can work their way to heaven, that there is no heaven. Whatever their faulty thinking is, it's condemning them. And saved people. Many saved people are secure in faulty thinking. Case in point, which has been the emphasis of our study, they believe that a Christian can live however they want and God is pleased. And this is not true. So it is, we want to get our thinking straightened out from truths in the book of Colossians. I want to remind you something, and I'll remind you of this throughout this message today. Written from a prison. He's telling the people of Colossae how to have peace and victory in life. Boy, do we get it backwards so often. Oh, no. Don't do it that way. We need to get you out of jail. I believe firmly if Paul was not in jail, he would not have written the letter. He would have gone in person and we wouldn't be reading it today because it wouldn't exist. And so sometimes when we look, it is so dark, and it is dark. But you must look beyond that. God, you're at work. And he is doing great things. Our studies have been the refuge of lies. Second, learning and doing. Third, beware of deceptions. Fourth, the good life. Fifth, more of the good life. And today, the final message, the only way. We can summarize much of what we've studied by some key verses, Colossians 1:9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, Paul writing this, we do not cease to pray for you, you people at Colossae. And what do we pray for? That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And in verse 10, he prays also that ye might walk worthy. God wants us to know what his will is, so he sets it forth in Scripture. He sets it forth in the happenings of life, our circumstances where he has planted us, and he wants us to walk worthy. You can't live however you want. You have to live according to the will and purpose of God. When he planted you in time and space, he did not make a mistake, and he equipped you for the job that he has for you. So do that. Start there. Tend to that. And Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you. Don't let somebody talk you into stuff. And the next thing you know, how did I get here? And fourth, he wants us to set our affection on things above, not on the things of earth. Colossians 3:2, where's your thinking? If you remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his servants were in the town of Dothan, surrounded by the whole Syrian army. And the servant, what are we going to do? And Elisha calmly said, there's more of us than there are of them. Earthly speaking, there was Elisha and there's me. And you tell me there's more of us than them? And Elisha prayed and said, would you open his eyes? Not his eyeballs. His eyeballs were getting him in trouble. His spiritual understanding. And the Lord opened it up. What happened? He saw chariots of fire all around. Folks, if we would get above the sun thinking, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. You will be mired down in this sin and the results of it here on this earth. God says, would you please set your affection on things above? The truth is, we do live in the ugly here and now. And God says, how do you get the victory? There's one way. Do it my way and set your affection on things above. Let us consider Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, reading our text. Continue in prayer. Watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God would open up a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, which is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you. And them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. In verses 2 through 5, we have some final admonitions for the spiritual life. In 7 through 15, we have fellow workers with Paul. In 16 and 17, we have final instructions. And in 18, Paul's final comments. This message concludes this series and brings it all together. The goal for every believer is to be like Christ. That requires change, big time. And quite often, we are so cemented in faulty thinking, we think that's okay. And we have to break down. As Jeremiah, throw down, tear down, destroy, then plant, then build. We have to undo so much. And it takes time. God has ordained us to live dependent on Him. Eve acted independently in the Garden of Eden, and here we are today. She didn't need God's wisdom and God's word. And this is what happens when we live independent of God. We don't do things His way. We must rely on God for direction, protection, comfort, and all other needs. Folks, this is what God wants. Did you learn His will? And there are voices out there teaching you philosophies. Deceivers. Oh, well, this philosophy will work. This philosophy. Would you read the Bible, believe it, and live it? Did you know that God has made spirituality open and available to every man, no matter where he's on this globe, no matter what his background is, no matter what his financial status is, no matter what his economic status is? Every man has equal opportunity. Because God promises, if you seek, you will find. I want you to consider this, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him, God, from creation, of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things of God are clearly seen by creation. Go out and look. There's an almighty God out there. There's an all-wise God out there. There has to be. Being understood by the things that are made. The very idea that a tree exists tells you a lot about God. Even his eternal power and Godhead. Underline it so that they are without excuse. Now, how much better it is when we can have a Bible? There are no shortcuts to spirituality. Spirituality comes to those who diligently seek him. Have I ever said this before? But without faith, it's difficult to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that casually seek him. New translation. Folks, God is extremely serious about us learning his word and living it. Without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please him. What are you fretting about? Are you saved? Did you trust God to save your eternal soul, and you don't trust him today for a hamburger? Is something seriously flawed in that thinking? God, I know you've saved my soul for eternity, but you know, right now I got a problem you can't deal with. Do you know what an insult that is to God? And he's the rewarder of them that diligently. He gives salvation freely, but Christian growth takes work on our behalf. Apply yourself to learning his word and doing it. He rewards that. He does not reward the casual seeker. Too often we don't give God time to work, and we get tired of waiting, and we take matters in our own hands, and guess what? We make it worse. Delays in God's responses to our prayers may be caused by our lack of spirituality. Maybe God has a bigger plan that takes God to develop and time to develop. Maybe God is trying and developing your very patience and faith. Maybe our request is not in tune with God's plans. Folks, God is always at work and up to something good, and he's working through people to bring to pass his perfect will. I find it interesting, as we'll get there a little later, but we had a handful of names written, people that are serving with Paul. Would you please let this soak in as you think about your life, and am I having any impact? Do you think when they were, I don't quite understand the relationship here. It sounds like there were two in prison, Aristarchus and Paul, a fellow prisoner, and the others, I perceive, maybe were free, but somehow they got access to come in and talk to Paul and the writings and sharing letters. Do you think those handful of people serving from a Roman prison thought they were having any impact on the world? I don't think so. Yet I think so. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do from my little corner of the world? I'm a nothing. Amen. God says I can use that. When you think you're somebody, God's waiting for you to get ready. And those people have reached us today, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the earth. Little is much when God is in it. Do what God wants you to do, for there he has empowered you, there he has purpose for you, there he will bless you. And how many times we just keep going off on our own thinking under the sun instead of setting our affection above, Lord, what do you want? Continue in prayer, a command. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. He does not pray that you protest Caesar's palace, get me out of here. He says, continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. What do we have to be thankful for? Be thankful for what you do have. With all praying for us, that God would open us a door of utterance. And we would say, how can he do that in a prison cell? Here we are today, folks. Do you think he's still speaking from a prison cell? I do. Lord, that can't be possible. Did you know Paul never realized here on this earth that his letters were going around the world for 2,000 years? Pray that God would open us a door of utterance. Help us to reach these people right here. and them abroad. Paul is advocating spiritual truth in this letter, prayer, preaching, and spiritual thinking to fight against the evils and powers of wickedness in this earth. Stand back and look at the picture. What has Paul told them? Don't protest to get me out of here. Protest that I say the right things and I have the opportunity. Oh, that we would submit ourselves to the Word of God. Paul does not seek an open door for physical freedom, but for the freedom to preach. Verses 5 and 6, walk in wisdom towards them who are without. In other words, they're without the faith. They're outside of our group and our understanding. Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Do you realize that you are a representative of Christ wherever you go? God has a plan for each and every one of us. The walk in wisdom includes redeeming time. Walk wisely. We only have so much time on the face of this earth. And the older you get, the faster it goes. Make each moment count. Make it count. And Paul wants it to count even in a Roman prison. God commands us to redeem time. Souls are being eternally lost while Christians are failing to do what they ought to do. Redeeming time requires a conscious effort to not waste time. Let your speech be always with grace. Say quality things. Salt purifies. Let your speech be purified. What comes out of your mouth? Paul has concluded his list of commandments that truly develop spirituality. Spirituality is not in worshiping angels, observing feast days, or in physical circumcision, but rather in growing to be Christ-like. Remember what he said in chapter 2, Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for daily living, for wisdom and understanding. But I find Colossians an incredibly compact, simply put, writing. Here are things as a Christian you ought to do or maybe not do. God gave us a book. That book has lasted for thousands of years. And it's still as relevant today as it was several thousand years ago. Our Bible today is more complete. The classic progressive revelation has come and now it is fulfilled. And God has given this and he doesn't have to write any amendments. There's no appendix. He didn't forget anything. He didn't have to, you know, let's scratch chapter 2, paragraph 6. Let's write this. His word stands. I want you to think about this as we consider the grand reality of this life. We're not perfect in this church, and no church is perfect. As they say, if you find a perfect church, don't join because you'll ruin it. None of us are perfect. I want you to think, though, as you look back at what Paul wrote, why did he have to write it? Because they weren't doing it right. So let's just consider. The church at Colossae, to some degree, corrupted the position and person of Christ. They worshiped angels. They observed feast days. They observed diet. They only had a show of spirituality to a degree. They did not forgive each other. They did not forbear one another. They weren't kind to each other. They weren't thankful. Wives were not submitting. Husbands were bitter. Children were disobedient. Fathers discouraged their children. Servants didn't obey their masters. Masters weren't given just and equal treatment to their servants. Other than that, it was a fine church. And you can look around this church and any church and find fault. But God is still on the throne, and he wants to work through us. We have fellow workers with Paul. Tychicus and Onesimus. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And he says, I have sent him, to comfort you and to know your estate. Learn so he can come back and tell me. I like this one. Ready? With Onesimus, verse 9. If you go to the book of Philemon, Onesimus is a runaway slave. And he ran of all things into the hand of Paul, and he got saved. And now he's a serving God with Paul. I want you, though, to notice something about Christianity. With Onesimus, it doesn't say a runaway slave. No, he's a Christian now. With Onesimus, he's a faithful and beloved brother, which is one of you. We're all on equal standing. Did you know God forgets the ugly past? He makes a conscious choice. He says, I will remember no more. He doesn't say, I forget. God can't forget because he's God. But he can choose to never remember it again. And here he says, let's read what is not written. With Onesimus, the runaway slave. No. This is what God says. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Man remembers, God doesn't. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Apparently he is also in a prison cell, serving with Paul. Is it not miraculous that God put them together where they could serve? What we would deem would be so awful, oh God, don't let this happen. God says, Paul, you're going to write a letter, several letters that'll go around the world for thousands of years. Did you know, though, God didn't tell him that? And many times God hasn't told us what he's doing through us. All we see is the ugly here and now. Well, what am I going to do here? And we start to get under the sun thinking. We set our affection on things of earth and we submit ourselves to vain philosophies that don't do anything. Instead of looking above, set your affection on things above. Folks, when you look past it, you'll get the victory. Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner. Marcus, a nephew of Barnabas, who once traveled with Paul, and Jesus called Justice. Little is known of this man, but God knows, and he will reward him accordingly. Words about Epaphras. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. How we tend to underestimate the power of prayer. And God hears prayer. And God answers prayer. I heard it put this way one time. You have a stone wall here. And you yell, hey, I need a shoe. And a shoe flies over. And you say, I need the other shoe. And the other shoe flies over. And you start to think, maybe there's somebody over there. You start to ask in prayer and watch. God doesn't always answer the way we think he should. But he does answer prayer. And the closer and the more we walk with him, we start to realize the way he works and what he wants us to do. When we start to pray those prayers, you really start to see God answer. When you now have understood the will of God for your life, and this is what he's called you to. And yes, God has the power to change what he's called you to. Sometimes you do this, and then he wants you to go over here and do this. Do what God wants. There is where he will empower and bless you. 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. 15, salute the brethren. Paul is saying now to these people, I need you to give a good, hearty greeting to those in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. It's how this church started, and a lot of churches started in somebody's house. We used to do that on Wednesday night Bible studies from people's house to house to house. Salute them. Let them be your friends in ministry. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read in the church of the Laodiceans. I think Paul knew that he wasn't just writing to Colossae, he was writing to people. He was writing scripture. I really believe that. He knew that. And he said, you need to make sure you give it to the Laodiceans and Nymphas and the church in his house. Let the Bible be read. Share it. It's interesting, too, as we think about all the positive admonitions, we've heard some things to put off, put on. Luke, and Demas. Sadly, Demas will not finish his course. Take a look at it, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Nothing is said about Demas. But look later on as the years roll by, 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writes to Timothy, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Not everyone will make it. Sad to say, we could look around this room and say, "Will you be here in 5 years?" Let me do this. Look around this room and say, "Will I be here in 5 years?" Verse 17, more bad news, if you will. "Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord and fulfill it." You're not doing your job. Let's go. A kind and gentle admonition. Get with the program. You see, someday we're going to stand before God and be accountable for what we did with our ministry. No matter how humble your ministry may be, it's from God. Fulfill it with all your heart. Verse 18, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul." Now, we don't usually think that's a big deal, but many think that Paul had, we know he had a physical handicap. Many think it was he was losing his eyesight. I don't know. Could it have been he shook so desperately he couldn't write? I don't know. We don't know. "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul." To him, that was a big deal. And as we age, it's a big deal that we can get up and walk across the room. It's the reality of life, folks. He just says, "Remember my bonds." I think there's a lot to be said in that little passage, "Remember my bonds." But I think the biggest one is, remember that I am still serving God in a prison cell. Be careful how you throw a pity party. I am doing my best to be an example to you. Remember my bonds. You've got your own type of bondage in life and your trials and tribulations. Would you please remember that I'm still going from a prison cell? Let me be an example to you. We have considered key verses. Colossians 1:9, "We pray for you that you might be fulfilled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Spiritual, this is the first and foremost. Do you want to make it successfully through this life? Learn the Bible. Why? Verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord." And I want you in Colossians 2:6, "as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." You received him by faith, now walk by faith. Verse 7, "rooted and building up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught." Keep learning. And verse 8, as you continue on in the battles and the struggles and trials and tribulations of this life, verse 8, "beware lest any man spoil you," any man, "with some philosophy, somehow, somewhere, is something leading you astray? Philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, not after Christ." There is only one way to succeed in this world: salvation and growing in spirituality. He then tells them, get your life straightened out and your thinking straightened out. Set your affection on things above. Stop looking at the ugly here and now and start looking at the heavenly. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. Oh, if only we had this, and if only I had a Mercedes, and if only I had, forget it. If only I had Christ and him with me, I need nothing more. And when you set your affection on things above and God leads you, here's how I want you to change. Put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. And verse 10, and put on. Start doing things that are becoming of a Christian as you walk in the ugly here and now. The new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You see things differently when you walk with the Lord. And verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Do you understand who you are in Christ? put on the new man and walk in that. You're somebody in God, a sinner saved by grace, led by the Holy Spirit, and you have the purpose to do what He wants you to do. Today's message, we consider things to put off, put on. We consider that a handful of people were used as they operated out of a prison cell controlled by the ungodly Gentiles to reach Christians around the world. Little is truly much when God is in it. By accepting God's will for his life, Paul reached the world from a prison cell. Christians must not complain about their lot in life. Use it to the glory of God. Pray about your problems and watch God work. The problem is, as we walk in this earth, there are so many voices crying, particularly now as we face election time. From local to federal, people are crying out, "I have the answer, I have the answer, I have the answer." I'd like to hear a politician say, "I don't have the answer, but God does." And I'll call for daily prayer. And I'll call for Bible reading and teaching. And I'll stand for the righteous things of this life. Give me that person. I have yet to find him on a ballot. Spirituality stands as the only way to solve the world's problems. And until man accepts that great truth, there will be no end to the world problems. It's all rooted in sin. The answer begins at salvation. I hope you never tire of this. I hope you never tire of this. And when I give the gospel, don't tune me out. Pray that if any here don't know Christ, that they are, I get it. It all begins here at salvation. This is what our government leaders, we need to make sure they're saved. How? Pray for them. Let that represent you. And you have a sin debt. Let this represent sin. God loves you, but he hates the sin. Don't ever think God hates sinners. He does not hate sinners. But he hates the sin, and the sin is what separates us from God. And if we die with this on us, we will spend eternity separated from God. And God is not willing that any should perish. So let this hand represent Christ. In his love, in his mercy, in his grace, God sent his Son. God in the flesh willfully went to that cross. And he took your sin, my sin, the sin debt of the whole world, past, present, and future. And he was the perfect sacrifice because he was perfect. And he was in the tomb 3 days, 3 nights, but death could not hold him. He has the victory over death. He rose again. See, the sin debt that you have on yourself, and I had once, and others have had once, and maybe many people are in this room or around this world are surely carrying the sin of the debt of the world. But God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants this to be settled, so he made it possible. When you say, "There's nothing I can do," I get it. It's what Jesus did for me. How much easier can God make it? It's not raising your hand. It's not walking aisles. It's not joining churches, giving money, communion, water, baptism. Go down the list. For God so loved you, but he hates your sin, that he gave his only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world, including you. And whosoever includes you believes. Do you believe in his work of redemption? That he shed his blood and gave his life as the perfect sacrifice to pay for your sin debt and the sin debt of the world? Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's not what I do, it's what Jesus did. It's not me and Jesus, it's Jesus paid it all. And the moment you believe in him, two things happen. You won't perish, go to hell, but you'll have everlasting life, you'll go to heaven. Folks, when we learn to think beyond this world and we learn to think above, we start to see grand reality. This life is a vapor. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's so simple. I get it. It's not what I do that gets rid of my sin. It's what Jesus did. And his redemption alone paid my sin debt. The moment you believe that, you have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.